Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents Dark Building at Night. Sign, Duquette Modern French Restaurant. Security camera monitor of pantry, then kitchen. In another view of kitchen, a masked figure reaches up and deactivates the camera. Title, Gourmet Detective. A figure with a hood walks through the darkened kitchen with a flashlight. Opens a wooden file cabinet. Pulls out receipts and closes the drawer. Sign, fridge door must remain closed at all times. Opens fridge door. Drags a bucket to prop the door open and leaves. Walks up to the main work table and dumps a jar of cockroaches on it. They squirm off in all directions. Carries a cage with two large rats. Frees the rats on the kitchen floor. Shines light on clipping on bulletin board, Shadu Kit Dynasty, San Francisco's first family of dining going strong. Grabs a butcher's knife and throws it into the clipping. San Francisco by day. A trolley goes up a hill. Red lanterns hang on strings across the street. Vegetables in baskets. Henry holds a tomato.
Now that is a thing of beauty. Only you get tomatoes like that, Tony.
Thanks, Henry.
I don't even want to eat this. It's such a work of art. All right, I will take 12 of those, please.
Sounds good. You hosting a dinner party?
No, I'm filling in last minute for a cooking class. It's been a while.
Henry Ross teaching a cooking class. Those are some lucky students.
Thanks, Tony.
Waves to Tony and looks over shoulder. Maggie with groceries.
Hey, it's Maggie. I got your message. The whole file should be, hold on.
Closes trunk in front of her house.
The whole file is just sitting on my desk.
We're detectives, Bailey. I'm sure we can locate a file.
Drops groceries.
I gotta call you back.
Crouches down.
Henry!
Hey, there you are.
There you go, the cream for the creme brulees and the good vanilla extract that you like.
Thank you, Lucy.
Oh, this is your suit for the gala tomorrow night. Make sure we get some great pictures of you walking in for the vlog. We also got an offer from a casino in Vegas to consult on a medieval-themed dinner.
How many guests?
400 to 500.
A couple days poolside in Vegas. If they throw in the penthouse suite, I'm in.
Thought you might say that.
Maggie goes through front door.
Hey, guys.
Her daughter at kitchen table.
I'm home. Hey, Mom. Hi, honey. How's school? It was good. Good? I am running late.
Kisses her head.
Guess it's gonna be spaghetti again. Sorry.
I got dinner.
You start getting ready for your date.
Are you sure?
Thanks, Mom. I literally have 20 minutes to make this happen.
Well, make yourself beautiful, like you are.
Thank you. Oh, and Peter Duquette called. He wants to meet tomorrow at noon down by the wharf.
Henry opens car.
Strange. Can you say what it's about?
He wouldn't tell me, but he sounded really upset.
He did, huh? Well, tell him yes, of course he'll meet. All right, let's hurry back. I gotta start prepping for tonight.
He puts his hand on her shoulder. She gets into the passenger's seat. Henry climbs into driver's seat. Maggie descends stairs.
Okay, what do you think? To a job interviewee or...
What about your red dress? I hung it on your mirror.
Yeah, that was subtle, Mom. I don't think this guy is like a red dress kind of guy.
Then why are you going on a second date with him?
Because I don't have a lot of practice at this, and I don't know, it's polite to give a guy a second chance. Maybe we'll magically find something in common. Oh, I wish I was staying home and eating with you guys.
We will save you some. Go, kick up your heels. Why aren't you wearing heels?
Because I hate heels. You know that. They hurt my feet.
Your mother is a lost cause.
I heard that.
The city lights at night. Henry stands at a kitchen island in a large space. Maggie and a man enter. He takes her jacket off. Henry looks up and sees Maggie. They make eye contact. Henry looks down.
Let me help you with
the
jacket here.
I got it. So, just give me a second
to unhook it. Okay, let's get started. Now, I'm very excited for this evening's guest teacher. You know him from his hugely popular blog, The Gourmet Detective. I'm thrilled to welcome to Mike's Chopping Block Kitchen tonight, the gourmet detective himself, my good friend, Henry Ross.
Thank you.
Cheers, man.
Man shakes Henry's hand in front of everyone.
Excuse me. What is a gourmet detective exactly?
Well, let's say you're a billion-dollar company, and a drought halfway across the world jeopardizes the key ingredient in your number one selling food line. Millions of dollars are at stake.
Now, if someone could provide the key substitute ingredient that no one could tell was different, true story, by the way, you might not only call him a detective, you'd probably call him a pretty good one.
He smiles and turns to Maggie. She seems unimpressed.
But you're still not dealing with actual dead bodies, just to be clear. No offense.
Not so far.
Smiles.
Now, who here loves to cook?
People raise hands.
Let's get started.
Maggie only crosses her arms. Blue flame. Meat on griddle. Dices greens. Cooks vegetables. Flips meat. Cuts strips of cooked meat. Henry looks over at Maggie.
Maggie! Bernie!
Sorry.
Can't turn your back while you're cooking.
One of the many conveniences of the microwave.
Don't worry, you two. It happens. That's why I always make extra.
Thank goodness. I am starving.
Maggie sits down.
Wow.
She looks at Henry.
The salt from Turkey makes all the difference in the world.
Doesn't it?
This is delicious, okay? But let's be real. I barely have time to get dinner on the table, much less be running around the city looking for Turkish salt.
Fair enough. If you're stressed for time, you can't do it all. But that's why paying attention to the little things, like the temperature on your burner, is so critical. The more alert you are in the kitchen, the more alert you may be in real life.
Okay. Is this the time when you tell us about your incredible observational powers and how they save Starbucks from going under?
He looks off into the distance stoically, then looks down.
Right.
He grabs a cup of wine and goes over to Maggie. Then he faces another one of the students.
You, sir. You bought that jacket at a thrift store, didn't you? It's a 42 regular. You're clearly a 44 long. And the shoulder has been faded by the sun where it hung in the store window for too long. But it's Hugo Boss, so you figured, hey, why not? Who's going to notice?
The man grimaces and nods.
You, ma'am, you have two cats. One a calico, the other a Persian. And judging from the traces of hair on your right sleeve, you're also right-handed, and you use that hand to pet them while you're watching TV on the couch.
He's right.
How about us?
Henry turns over to Maggie and her partner.
I generally don't like commenting on couples.
Go on.
Her partner gestures. He walks over and looks at Maggie.
I'm just not sure she's over the divorce yet.
How do you know that I'm divorced?
You keep rubbing your ring finger.
She holds up her hand.
And judging by the homemade yet slightly complicated bracelet, you have a young girl at home. I'm guessing maybe 12 or 13. I bet she's openly supportive of you dating again, but secretly loves having you all to herself.
Maggie holds his gaze.
Am I in the ballpark?
Maggie looks off to the side, then down. Maggie walks into her house. She goes upstairs and opens Abby's bedroom door. Abby's on her side. She rolls over. Maggie sits down beside her.
Still up?
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. So, how was it?
She hunches down.
Well, we parted as friends. Truthfully, I don't think I'm going to be going on any more dates anytime soon.
Oh. Well, I just want to let you know that I'm okay with it if you do.
Maggie cocks her head.
Are you sure?
It's been over a year since you and Dad... You know, Grandma says it's good for you to get out there and have some fun, and I just want you to know that I'm okay with the idea.
Come here.
Maggie leans in and kisses her hand.
Thank you.
Abby nods lovingly.
You know you're the most important thing in my life, Abby.
Yeah, I know.
Try to get some sleep, okay? Good night.
Maggie kisses her forehead and turns off her light.
Mom?
Yes?
Do you think Dad will be able to come to my chess tournament?
She sighs.
I know he really wants to be there. And I know he's gonna try. It's just...
Yeah, I know. Work might get in the way.
Abby turns her eyes and looks at her pillow.
I love you.
Abby smiles faintly. Maggie closes the door and stands outside the door with her hand on her hip. She shakes her head. Food stall on dock.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. These are the best fish tacos in town.
Pauline, your uncle and I, we've been coming here for 20 years. That's how good these tacos are.
They eat tacos at the bar.
So, why don't you fill me in on what's going on? What's with all the mystery?
Someone is sabotaging my restaurant.
What do you mean by sabotage?
Shipments have been diverted. Always vital ingredients for specific popular dishes. The labels on spices have been swapped. Rats were found in my pantry on the morning of a visit from a food inspector. And you of all people know I keep a clean kitchen.
That's not all. The other night, they snapped a picture of us with a knife. Left us some kind of message.
I'm worried about our safety. But I can't go to the police. Because if they're involved, the public might hear about the rats and the cockroaches. And then I will have to close down, and that's exactly what this person wants.
So how can I help?
You are going to the gala tonight.
Yes, of course.
And this is a huge night for us. It would be a public nightmare if anything were to happen.
Peter sighs, then looks at Henry.
That's why we want to hire you, to look into what's been happening at Chez Duquette.
Scoffs.
Hire me. Peter, I'm not a private investigator. You know the restaurant business inside and out, and mine specifically. And you know every major player in the city. And because of our relationship, no one will suspect anything if you're seen hanging around watching what happens at the restaurant. Please.
Pauline turns to him.
I don't know who else I can turn to.
Peter shakes his head. Henry grimaces. A view of the three from a little further away under a kind of hood. A car pulls up to the restaurant at night. Henry gives a valet his car keys.
Thank you.
Pauline stands and waits.
Pauline, everything running smoothly?
So far, so good. All deliveries arrived correctly, and the kitchen seems to be running on time.
An employee snaps a picture of them.
I'll take you back.
All right.
A man opens the door for them, and they walk in. They walk through a floor full of people.
Raymond Bishop is here. You know, after all these years, your uncle has still never told me what their feud is about.
I know, but what can we do? Raymond owns Fillmore Bistro and is part of the association, so he automatically gets an invitation.
Raymond talks to another man over a glass of wine. A flame goes up over a skittle.
Service, please!
A chef from behind the service line.
Klaus, can I speak to you for a minute?
Henry, good to see you.
You too, Klaus.
Henry's gonna be helping us with their problems.
Thank God for that. I can't be everywhere at once, catching every slip.
Well, I will leave you two to it.
All right.
I gotta go back out front.
Klaus takes Henry's shoulder. They face each other.
Everybody's reputation is on the line here. I don't know what to do. These aren't accidents.
Health inspectors don't usually announce their visits. How would somebody know when to plant the rats?
Our inspectors keep a rigid schedule. We mark him on the calendar.
So only somebody familiar with this restaurant and its operation could have known the inspector's date.
That's what I'm worried about.
And all of the delivery mishaps, the access to files and labels would require the same insider knowledge?
Exactly. I see.
Klaus turns to the side. Henry looks over his shoulder. Leighton appears in front of Pauline.
Pauline, how's everything going this evening?
So far, so good. Sally, have you met Leighton Leopold? He's the chef at Fillmore Bistro.
I don't believe I have.
You're the cookbook author that says eating out is a complete waste of time and money, right?
Oh, well.
Why don't you come by the restaurant? I'll prepare you something that will make you eat your words.
Sounds like a challenge.
It is.
Okay.
See you at dinner.
Sally throws her head back coquettishly as Leighton passes.
Thank you.
Henry walks in and takes a glass of champagne. He observes a man taking a thumb drive from another and quickly putting it in his suit jacket. Raymond puts his hand on Henry's shoulder.
Henry. Can I have a word with you, please?
Of course, Raymond. How are things at Fillmore Bistro?
Not good.
Something strange is happening at my restaurant.
What do you mean?
Shipments are going missing. End of night receipts don't add up. Ingredients are ending up in the wrong containers. It may be paranoid, but it's almost as if I'm being
sabotaged.
Henry frowns. The lights flicker.
Gentlemen, we're starting the meal.
Can we continue this later?
Yes, of course, Raymond.
Raymond walks off with woman. Waiters carry plates of food to tables.
No, steak should never be paired with lobster. The only reason that it is so that restaurants can use the term surf and turf. Oh, Americans love catchy titles.
Well, you should know about catchy titles, Sally.
Sets plate down.
Now look at that. This, Sally, is why you eat out. This is the kind of thing that we need to have on our menu, Raymond. If you would just listen to me, we can make bold choices like this without alienating our customers.
Or you could go buy your own restaurant and cook whatever you like. But for the meantime, I pay you to cook my menu.
A plate with five stacked aliments. Henry looks down at it.
Wow, look at this. So this is the lamprey bordelaise. It's very bold of Klaus to serve lamprey with this crowd. What do you think, Oliver?
It's good. Klaus is smart to have the wine accompany the sauce and not the eel.
I bet you never cooked lamprey on your show.
How is everything?
Fantastic.
Good.
Colleen. Well done.
Good, I'm glad. I hope the eel isn't too adventurous for you, Raymond. I know you like to keep things basic at the bistro.
No, not at all, Pauline. No, I understand. Your uncle needs to distract his clientele with flash.
Okay, here it goes. All right, you two, let's just enjoy the meal. You both own wonderful restaurants, and the good news is the city is big enough for both your egos. Let's toast to big egos. All right, here.
Cheers.
They raise their glasses.
Here.
Henry smiles and drinks.
Wait!
Klaus wipes plate.
Okay, go.
The waiter takes the plate. Peter drinks a coffee. People smile and drink. Henry smiles. Waiters bring in more food. A man hits a glass with his spoon.
Excuse me, everyone. May I have your attention? My name is Ian Jenkins. I'm sure many of you are familiar with my investigative news show.
He grabs his lapel.
What is this about?
I have no idea.
Shakes head.
I've been working on an investigation for several weeks now. What I'm about to reveal to you will shock many of you in this room. Tonight, I'll put it together. I finally have the proof.
He swallows hard. He puts his hand on his side.
I can prove it.
He falls face first onto the table and pulls the mantle down with him. Everyone stands up. Henry feels his neck, looks up and shakes his head. Peter looks up at Pauline. Leighton takes his chin in his hand. Police cars outside of the restaurant. Officers walk in and run police tape.
That was absolutely terrifying.
The deceased's name is Ian Jenkin, 44. He's an investigative reporter for Channel 7 News.
The one who took down the deputy mayor last year?
That's the one.
Maggie.
Cause of death?
Well, it isn't clear. Although, if you notice the bluish tinge around his mouth, it could be indicative of any number of conditions. Viral infection, heart attack, pulmonary embolism.
Any prescription bottles in his pockets to suggest a medical condition?
Nothing in his pockets. Checked myself.
Witnesses say that Mr. Jenkin was giving a speech when he became disoriented and collapsed. There wasn't any sign of chest pain, he just hit the floor.
Squints.
Could it be food poisoning?
Well, could be. If it is, it's one of the most severe cases I have ever seen.
Okay, well, until you give us the toxicology results, we better treat this like a suspicious death.
Pauline holds Sally's hand. Henry rubs his forehead.
I can't believe he's dead.
Are you all right? Can I get you anything?
Excuse me, are you Mr. Rock?
Points.
You.
I know you. You're the woman from the...
Detective. Maggie Price.
Detective?
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
Now it's all coming together.
I mean, it's a curious thing.
Spare me the long version. All I want to know is one thing. Were you a witness to what happened?
Well, yes, I was.
Maggie smiles and nods. Henry frowns. He drinks coffee in interrogation room.
That may be the worst cup of coffee I've ever tasted in my life.
Oh, could we get you a latte instead?
Oh, would you?
No. Did you know Mr. Jenkins personally?
Holds up hands.
No, I didn't.
Do you know anyone that would want to harm Jenkins?
He opens his mouth.
I take it from this line of questioning you're not thinking it's a matter of a simple fish allergy.
Well, until we get the toxicology results in, we're not ruling anything out.
Well, obviously, it wasn't an allergic reaction.
And is that based on your super detective powers, Mr. Ross?
No, just common sense. Look, number one, Mr. Jenkins didn't exhibit any classic choking signs of anaphylaxis associated with severe allergic reactions. And number two, if Mr. Jenkins were allergic to fish, he probably wouldn't be eating the eel in the first place, now would he? Eel's a fish.
Monroe crosses his arms.
That makes sense.
Now, what most people don't understand.
Who is this guy again?
Henry Ross. He's some kind of food specialist.
What's that mean?
Here's a copy of his bio I got from his website. You'll notice he started his career 25 years ago at Chez Duquette.
Oh, interesting coincidence.
Apparently, he was quite a chef. Now he's a consultant and works with everybody from small restaurants to large international food conglomerates. Sounds like if you have a problem in the food world, Henry Ross is your guy.
Listen, what you should be concerning yourself with is the lamprey. That is an extremely dangerous dish to be serving. King Henry I died from eating too much of it. At least that's the official story. I believe it was from improper handling. But if lamprey is not prepared correctly and all of the natural toxin removed, that is a fish that kills quickly and quietly.
Quickly and quietly, huh? Well, that sounds like the perfect weapon in the right hands.
She sits closer to him.
How long have you been working for Raymond Bishop at Fillmore Bistro?
7 or 8 years.
What can you tell me about his relationship with Peter Duquette?
They can't stand each other. The thing is with Raymond is that he won't listen to anybody. He's terrified of change. He's probably threatened by Peter because Peter keeps Chez Duquette relevant by trying new things.
Mr. Bishop, is it true that your restaurant, Fillmore Bistro, has been experiencing some strange mishaps? Things that, if not caught in time, could perhaps damage your business?
Yes, that's true. How did you know?
Is it also true that you and Peter Duquette have a strong public dislike for one another?
I hope the eel isn't too adventurous for you, Raymond. I know you like to keep things basic at the bistro.
We have a healthy competitive rivalry, that's all.
I understand if not properly prepared, lamprey can kill. Seems like a pretty risky meal to serve to 50 people.
I assure you, the lamprey was safe. I oversaw every step. From ordering, delivery, and preparation, no one had access to the eel except for me.
So you're saying if anyone tampered with the lamprey, it had to be you.
Why would I do that? I've spent 20 years building my career as a chef. This is going to ruin me. Why would I destroy my own career?
He holds up his hands. Maggie nods.
Did you know the victim?
No. I mean, on TV. Yeah, like everyone else.
Smiles.
Do you think he might have had any enemies?
The guy made a living investigating people. I'm sure he had a list of enemies.
What about this Henry Ross guy?
Monroe crosses arms.
You know him?
Sure, he was on my cooking show. Why?
Of course I know Henry.
Every owner in the city knows Henry.
I've known him for years. Why?
Henry always had a thing for me.
She combs her hair and rubs the bottom of her ribcage and smiles.
You call yourself the gourmet detective?
Not this conversation again. I didn't come up with it. Someone else did, and it just sort of stuck.
He holds forehead in hand.
Mr. Ross, I am very interested in you.
Thank you.
Maybe you want to explain to us why the one name that keeps coming up is yours.
People like me?
Assuming for a minute that the deceased was poisoned, whoever did this would need to understand the intricacies of preparing and serving eel. They would need to understand lamprey poisoning. Did you know that lamprey killed King Henry I?
Apparently.
She frowns.
Wait a minute. Am I a suspect here?
Until we understand exactly what we're dealing with here, all I know is that there is one common denominator in all of this. And that's you.
She sits down close with her arms crossed.
Okay, I think I'd like to talk to my lawyer.
Oh, sure, lawyer up. Nothing suspicious about that.
Price, relax.
Maggie smiles and crosses arms.
No, I've got your bio, Mr. Ross. And I don't see a motive for you. yet. But I do think that you could be very useful to us, especially given your long-standing history with Mr. Duquette and his restaurant. Now, I would like you to consult on this case.
Wait, what? What?
But I spoke with Mr. Jenkins' station manager. He was working on some kind of a food industry expose, but nobody knew the details. Now, that dinner had every major player in the San Francisco food scene, and if I was a betting woman, I'd say that the target of Jenkins' investigation was in that room and knew that he was onto them. If this turns out to be a murder investigation, I want you and Price working as a team. You have invaluable insight and contacts into this industry that we simply don't have.
Okay, Captain, that is so not necessary. We have more than enough resources. We do not need to include,
Henry.
Whatever. Can we please just think about this?
Ah, see, now fortunately for you, I already have. End of discussion.
Okay, look, I am really flattered by all of this, but I do have a rather substantial daily fee, so...
Let's consider your payment staying off my suspect list for now.
Done.
Good.
Okay.
Be here in the morning and Maggie can start walking you through what we know.
Captain, this is not a great idea, okay? I am more than capable of doing this by myself without dragging him home.
Duly noted. I will see you in the morning, Price. With Mr. Ross.
Maggie turns to Henry and gives him a dry look. She leaves. Henry looks over his shoulder as she leaves. Lucy walks into Henry's apartment. He walks over to a basket on the kitchen island.
Good morning.
Morning. Just jotted down a couple of ideas for the blog for you to research.
You excited for your first day as a real detective?
You have no idea.
From there.
Closes lid.
Just a little treat for everyone down at the station.
Well, have a good first day. Play nice with the other detectives.
He hoists the basket.
Good luck.
Lucy smiles. The police station by a busy street. Text, San Francisco Police Department. Maggie hangs up phone.
All right. Toxicology is in. I think I'm gonna take Mr. Ross on a little trip to the morgue with me.
Whoa, Price, you gonna scare the poor man off on his first day?
Gestures to self ironically.
Well, he's already 20 minutes late, so maybe he'll be a no-show.
Henry enters.
Good morning, everyone.
Sorry I'm late. I was busy making you some decent coffee. Detectives.
Coffee pot.
I interest you in some monkey parchment.
Monkey what?
Monkey who?
Only the best coffee on the planet. I always find that porcelain makes things taste a little better. There you are.
They gather around and serve themselves.
Thank you. I love this moment. When someone realizes for the first time they've been drinking dishwater all their life and calling it coffee.
Raise eyebrows.
Wow.
Right?
This is good.
$300 a pound good.
Are you kidding me?
What is in this?
This is considered the sweetest, most complex Indian Arabica coffee ever produced. The beans have been chewed on and spat out by rhesus monkeys from the jungles of India.
Maggie coughs as she drinks.
I don't care what's in it. It's delicious. Here.
All right, boys. Well, you enjoy that monkey spit.
Maggie grabs things.
You. Let's go.
Tell me that is not your breakfast.
Thanks for the coffee. It's great.
My pleasure. Next time, I will bring you Kopi Luwak. You definitely don't want to know where those beans came from.
Let's go. You ever been to a morgue, Mr. Ross?
Right. About that.
Pulls curtain off of a very pale Mr. Jenkin.
If you're going to pass out, you should probably sit down, Henry.
I'm fine.
Really? Because you look paler than the victim.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Watching you squirm? Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, well, if you two are finished. Mr. Jenkin died from poisoning by TTB, otherwise known as Tintilinum botulinum, one of the cousins of the botulism family.
I thought the botulism only comes from spoiled food.
No, it can occur in fish and vegetables too. Even at room temperature, spores germinate into an active bacteria, which produce a nerve toxin, which usually kills. Cooking temperatures don't destroy it, not even boiling water, and it can kill in an hour or less. What?
She raises her eyebrows and blinks.
So this TTB was in the lamprey?
Yes, and Mr. Jenkins' bacteria measurement was 3.5. Now, anything over 1.2 is fatal.
That is an enormous amount of TTB to ingest in one sitting.
Yeah.
Is it even possible for him to have consumed that much of the toxin from his meal alone?
She looks down.
In a word? No.
Maggie looks up at Henry. Henry frowns. Henry picks up trash in the car and puts it in a bag.
Can you please leave my trash alone?
Henry puts a straw in the bag slowly.
You know, your body is a temple, but you treat yours like a dumpster.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You look great on the outside, but
hey,
seriously.
We're not buddies. You know that, right? So what I eat, what's in my car, and especially what my body looks like, that is none of your business. So if you have something that you want to say about the case, that's great. Otherwise, keep your promise to yourself.
You know, all I'm saying is maybe if you tried eating more real food, you'd stop tricking your body into thinking that this processed garbage actually tastes good.
Yeah, well, that's where you're wrong, because it does taste good.
No, you've dulled your taste buds into thinking it does because they're so drugged on sugar, salt, nitrates, and preservatives that they've lost the ability to pick out the full spectrum of flavor available to you in real foods, the subtleties, the nuances. I mean, you're like a person at the symphony wearing earplugs.
Look, I love the idea of preparing locally grown organic gourmet masterpieces every night. Who doesn't? But I live in the real world, and that means that I usually have about 12 and a half minutes to prepare dinner and 10 minutes to eat it before my daughter has to run off and do her homework, and I have to hit the computer to finish the work that didn't get done at the office because I had to leave early to go home and make dinner. So spare me your enlightened foodie speeches, because that is the last thing that I need to hear from some bachelor who has all the time in the world to just go meandering around Pacific Heights looking for Turkish salt.
She rolls her eyes. He looks off into space with raised eyebrows. She sighs.
What makes you think I'm a bachelor?
He looks down.
Lucky guess.
He turns to her.
Now, how about we just keep the conversation about the case, okay?
Fine. Sounds good.
Great.
She presses a contact on her phone. Bailey's office. She rubs her finger. He notices.
How long you been divorced?
This is Bailey.
Hey, Bailey. It's me.
The victim had enormous levels of TTB in his system.
We're definitely looking at a homicide.
A planned murder made to look like an accident of food poisoning?
Yep, the killer was using a poisonous fish to cover the poison.
I think we can assume that Klaus's preparation of the lamprey eel was safe and toxin-free. I mean, why would he jeopardize his own career like that? No, the killer cultivated the TTB from a second separate order of lamprey and then somehow injected the poison into Ian's meal without anyone noticing.
All right, Bailey, why don't you talk to the lamprey distributor who sold the restaurant the eel and see what you can find out?
Got it.
How are we doing on the restaurant surveillance footage?
Nothing there. Someone cut the wire several days ago.
All right, did we run background checks on the kitchen staff?
Everyone came in clear.
All right, can you run it again? Just somebody must have seen something.
Okay, got it.
What about the flash drive? What was on that?
What flash drive?
He frowns and leans back.
I saw Oliver Page, you know, the chef on TV, give Ian Jenkin a blue flash drive right before the dinner.
And you're just mentioning this now?
I can't think of everything.
Well, but you can take 10 minutes to lecture me on my breakfast burrito.
Okay, I'll check for a flash drive in evidence.
Thank you, Bailey. I'll call you back.
She presses end call.
Anything else you care to mention? Like, I don't know, maybe you saw somebody poison Jenkin's meal?
No, it's just like what I told you. Ian was about to tell everybody in that room about something he had just discovered.
Well, forensics is already sweeping his house, so hopefully we'll find out what he was working on when we get to his office.
All right, good plan.
So glad you think so.
He looks at her and gives a wry smile.
How long have you worked with Ian Jenkin?
Worked with? That's a stretch. Ian kept to himself, but I've known him almost 10 years since I started working here at the station.
Did Mr. Jenkin have any enemies at work? Anybody who disliked him?
This is a competitive business, and Ian stepped on more than a few toes to get where he was, but I don't think he ticked off anyone enough that they'd want to see him dead.
Henry and Maggie give each other a look.
That's right, please.
She opens a glass door. Maggie and Henry walk in.
Here's his office. He was rarely here. Always on the road.
I understand Mr. Jenkin was looking into a story on the food industry before he died.
Henry looks at blackboard.
Apparently so.
Pictures and connections.
You know as much as I do. Ian produced his own segments. I only ever got involved in what he was doing if there were any legal issues that our station lawyers needed to go over first. Other than that, he was kind of a one-man show.
Post-it notes.
12, 930, $350, AS. Does any of this mean anything to you?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I know these restaurants, of course, but I didn't know he was investigating them. Yes, that could be Alex Scarponi. He was a photographer Ian would hire sometimes. He would have paid him about $350. Other than that, I don't think I can help anymore.
Henry holds up his phone and snaps pictures.
Could you get us Scarponi's contact information?
Sure.
Post-it notes, 12 to 9:30, $350 AS. Todd Armand, Henry frowns.
Lucy, it's me. I need you to look up something. The name is either Todd Armand or Armand Todd. We're looking for a connection between him and Ian Jenkin.
All right, I'm on it.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Yep, sounds good, Bailey. Right.
Maggie hangs up her phone.
Scarponi's on a photo shoot in Italy. He left this morning and is not due back till next week.
Okay, I have my assistant Lucy looking up who Todd Armand is.
Okay, look, I don't need you or your assistant doing research for us. Let the department handle the investigation.
Just trying to help. Hey, wait a second.
Holds out finger.
You know, Oliver Page's cooking show used to tape here. I guest starred on it once. I made this sesame ginger Cornish hen. It was out of this world.
And this is relevant because...
Because when Ian Jenkin asked for a massive pay raise, the network didn't have any money left over. That's why Oliver's show was canceled. Oliver's been out of work ever since.
So you think that Oliver could have been angry enough about that to poison the guy who got his show canceled?
It's possible.
Oliver shakes Jenkin's hand. Maggie holds his gaze, nods lightly, then turns away. Henry holds out hand.
It's possible.
A trolley with people climbs the hill. Maggie and Henry get out of the car outside of a White House.
So, how many kids do you have?
One.
Daughter, right? I was right, wasn't I?
You know, I think it's your humility that really draws people to you.
Is that a joke? You made a joke. See, I knew there was a sense of humor in there somewhere.
Yeah, because when I'm not on the job doing real detective work, I'm actually a fun person.
Duly noted. Fun person.
They ring doorbell.
Of course, if that were true, you wouldn't have been on that date with that drip at the cooking class. What was his name? Leonard?
Len is his name, and he's a very nice person.
So when are you going to break up with him? I'm just saying, if we're going to be partners, we should probably get to know each other a little.
Whoa. Hold on a second, okay? We are not partners. Let's be clear about that. All right? I am not even having this conversation with you. Oh, my God.
She smiles.
I don't think he's home.
Oliver?
Henry knocks on the door and it swings open. He holds out a finger and points.
In a murder mystery, this would be very concerning. What's the standard operating procedure here, Detective?
Some would say close the door and come back another time.
And others?
Maggie turns to him and squints her eyes.
Others would say, get behind me, don't touch anything, and these next moments never happen.
I love this cloak and daggers.
They walk in.
Oliver?
Henry closes door.
Detective Price, San Francisco PD!
She puts her hand on her gun.
Anybody home?
Maggie waves at Henry to follow after her. He juts his neck out with curiosity and goes a different direction. He steps into the living room. He looks down beside the table. Oliver lies on his side on the ground.
Maggie?
Maggie rushes over. Oliver's arms are crossed oddly and his eyes are closed. Maggie puts her finger on his neck.
He's alive.
Oliver?
Hey.
Oliver!
Oh! Okay, let's get you out. Here we go. Get in the chair.
Okay. Okay.
Henry hoists him up.
I know you.
I'm Detective Price. We met last night.
Oh.
He holds his hand to his head.
Oh. Let me get you a glass of water.
He leans over onto the table. Maggie goes to the kitchen and pours water.
Ugh. Rough night.
Yeah, you could say that.
I think we're all a little shaken up over Ian.
Picks up hard liquor glass.
You have company last night, Oliver?
No, I was alone.
No hot date? Just drowning your sorrows alone?
No, I'm married. I mean, separated.
Thank you. I.
He takes glass.
Why exactly are you here again?
We wanted to ask you about the flash drive that you gave to Ian Jenkin right before he died. Do you happen to know what was on it?
I don't know. Ian asked me to pick it up from a photographer.
Alex Scarponi?
Yeah.
I didn't think that you and Ian were terribly close.
We weren't. I mean, we knew each other from the station, but to be honest, I don't think Ian was close to anybody. Not that I know of, anyway.
Speaking of the station, I loved the show.
You did?
I did. Big fan. I loved the one, especially when Henry cooked you the Cornish chicken.
Hen.
Delicious.
Yeah, it was a good gig.
He leans forward and raises eyebrows.
You must be pretty angry it got canceled.
He holds up the glass to drink.
Well, I mean, I was at first. But to tell you the truth, I got pretty burned out. Hosting a weekly cooking show is a lot more work than you'd think. There's the prep, the rehearsals, the whole thing helped to torpedo my marriage. Anyway, I have some other opportunities that have come my way recently, so who knows? Maybe losing the show wasn't such a bad thing after all.
He moves the glass in a circular motion and takes a drink. Henry looks over at Maggie. They're in the car.
He's lying.
About what?
When you asked him if he was alone last night, he looked up and to the left. Classic tell.
Did you read that in a book?
Yes, actually, I did. I have a little soft spot for crime fiction.
Chandler, Rendell, Le Carre, I've read them all.
You know, you'd be amazed at what you can learn from reading a book, detective.
Yeah. You know what's really amazing?
Pulls out glass.
Actual police work. He was lying about being alone.
Is that lipstick?
Yep.
Where did you find that?
Not in a book. We need to check it for prints.
Henry smiles and looks forward. He looks back at her out of the corner of his eye. Henry sits on Maggie's desk and looks at a photo of Abby. Maggie pins up a photograph of Jenkin up to a board. Bailey sets the phone down and gets up.
Lamprey distributor confirms there were two orders, 1 week apart from each other.
Told you.
Do we have a name that goes with the first order?
Negative. It was paid for in cash by John Doe. No security cameras for an ID, and the distributor doesn't really remember what he looked like other than that he was a man.
So I take it we won't have much luck in tracking down a John Doe who pays for his fish in cash.
Maybe the victim was doing an investigative report on Chez Duquette and all the crazy stuff that was going on, and Peter was so scared of all the negative publicity that he killed him.
No. Listen, I know Peter. He would never hurt anyone. And besides, think about it. A dead customer just draws negative attention to your restaurant, all right? It doesn't make sense, which is why I also don't think Klaus could have done it. A poisoned customer points the finger at him. It makes no sense.
Well, we also have another problem, because Oliver just confirmed that he did, in fact, give Mr. Jenkin a blue flash drive that there was no evidence of at the crime scene. So where did that go?
How could it go missing? Are you sure it's not an evidence?
I checked all the victim's pockets at the crime scene myself. They were all completely empty. Trust me, there's no flash drive in evidence.
Do you remember anyone being near the body before the police arrived on the scene?
Well, we all immediately surrounded him, of course, to see what we could do to help, but I don't remember anyone going into his pockets. Not that they couldn't have later when I wasn't looking.
I thought nothing escaped your keen observation.
You know what I noticed? You got a button missing on your jacket. You might want to get that fixed on time.
The fingerprints just came back on that glass.
Monroe holds file.
You're not going to believe this. They belong to Pauline Duquette.
She's in the system?
She was arrested at a political rally at Harvard 12 years ago.
This just got interesting. Let's go find her.
Maggie stands up and leaves.
Nice work, Monroe. Thank you.
Monroe rubs his hands together, crosses his arms, and looks at the board. Picture of Pauline. Henry and Maggie with Pauline and Peter.
Oliver and I have been friends for a long time. After what happened at the restaurant, we were both upset. He asked if I wanted to have a drink, so I went. I also wanted to continue talking to him about opening a new cooking school with him as our star chef.
What?
I'm sorry, Uncle. It's just with everything going on at a restaurant,
I was worried things were falling apart and we were losing sales. And then when that reporter died, we had to do something. I thought that, you know, maybe we could leverage the Duquette name into something else to keep us going.
You shouldn't be making business decisions without me. I'm still the owner here.
I know. I was trying to save what we have.
Peter sighs and looks down.
Why would Oliver lie to us about seeing you?
She pauses and looks to the side. She shakes her head.
We had too much to drink, and things got out of hand.
Henry looks up at her. She shakes her head.
Oliver is trying to fix things between him and his wife, so he wouldn't want word to get out. That's all.
She tightens her lips. Maggie and Henry give each other a look. The board of suspects in the police station.
So, we've been able to clear all friends, family, and co-workers. Anyone that Jenkin nailed from his investigations is either still behind bars or has been ruled out. We spoke with Scarponi in Italy, and he said that Jenkin just wanted everyone that was associated with Fillmore Bistro and Chez Duquette to be photographed. He states he never witnessed anything unusual, and everything he photographed, he put on that flash drive and handed over to Oliver Page.
We still don't know who Todd Armand is, or Armand Todd. As for 12 to 9:30, that could be 12 to 9:30 as in a time frame or a 9:30 appointment on the 12th. Jenkins was murdered on the 12th. Maybe he was meeting this Armand guy on the 12th at 9:30 in the morning.
All right. We still don't have anything that ties Jenkins to anyone from that dinner.
Henry frowns and looks at the board with Raymond and Layton.
Wait a minute. What if we're looking at this all wrong? What if the murderer weren't after the reporter? What if the intended target was actually Peter and his restaurant? Who would benefit the most from Chez Duquette going out of business?
Peter's rival, Raymond Bishop.
Exactly.
Maggie nods.
Everybody knows that they hate each other. Who better than Raymond to know how to sabotage another restaurant?
But wasn't Raymond's restaurant being sabotaged too?
Well, that could be a cover to throw us all off.
That's right.
Jenkin could have discovered Raymond was sabotaging Chez Duquette. He confronted Raymond with his evidence.
Raymond panicked, poisoned him at the dinner, thereby silencing the investigation and
putting his hated rival out of business.
Killing two birds with one stone. Bam!
Oh, boy.
Fist bump.
Okay, this is how it works. You keep an eye out for anything suspicious and let me do the talking.
If Raymond cultivated the toxin at his house, it's more than likely there'll be trace elements of it.
Forsythe's assembling a forensic team right now, okay? Can you stay behind me, please?
Okay, fine.
They go up to door.
Raymond Bishop, San Francisco PD!
Raymond comes to the door with a glass of wine.
Detective. Henry, what can I do for you?
Mr. Bishop, we have some questions for you. May we come in? If you prefer, we can take it down to the station.
No, that's fine. Come in.
He looks at her, pauses, then opens the door. Maggie gives Henry a look. Peter is in the living room with a glass of wine.
Peter.
Henry.
Henry gives Raymond a glance, then glances back at Peter with an open mouth. They sit at the table.
We've been friends for 40 years.
We trained together under the same chef at one of the best cooking schools in Paris when we were young men.
He turns up at the school where I was the star pupil.
Oh, the ego on this guy.
I was about to say, this young guy turns up at the school, blows everybody's socks off.
Nods.
Of course, I knew I had to up my game. We were always trying to outdo each other over the years. Peter eventually took over his family's restaurant, and eventually I came to San Francisco and was able to open Fillmore Bistro.
Right, and shortly after he had opened his restaurant, I gave an interview in the newspaper, and I made some comments about Raymond and his cooking. Now, of course, I was just teasing, but the journalist didn't write it that way. And all of a sudden, it became this huge rivalry.
Yeah. But instead of hurting business, I mean, customers were flocking to the restaurants to see what was going on.
Right. Business was booming, so why set them straight?
So you never wanted to ruin Peter?
Of course not.
No.
Peter turns to Raymond.
As a matter of fact, he's been trying to keep my spirits up.
Raymond smiles.
I don't know. With everything that's been going on, sometimes I wonder if I should just retire, just pack the whole thing up.
Yeah, I've been wondering the same thing. This business, it's just not the same anymore.
Raymond takes his glass of wine. Henry listens with a frown.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Maggie waves arms and clasps hands. Henry and Maggie sit in a booth. Maggie rests head against booth.
So I might have been a little off in my theory.
Maggie gives him a look.
You should have heard Forsyth when I told her to call off the forensics. I don't know what she was thinking by pairing us together. This is ridiculous.
Oh, thank you.
And what are we doing here? I don't really want to eat ribs right now.
Henry sighs.
Maggie, I'm sorry that I screwed up. I am. But I brought you here because I wanted to show you why this case means so much to me.
She cocks her head. He pauses and looks down.
When I was a teenager, shortly after I started working for Peter, he saw something in me. And so one day, he brought me here. And he pointed to that gentleman right back there.
A man in the kitchen.
That's the owner. Had this place 50 years.
Maggie looks.
Peter told me, Henry, it doesn't matter if you work in a high-end establishment like mine or a little place like this. If you bring the same passion and care to your cooking that that man brings to his, you will be a success in life, no matter the size of your bank account.
Maggie looks down and nods. Henry raises his eyebrows.
That is the best advice anyone has ever given me my entire life.
Maggie looks up at him. Henry adjusts the plate in front of him.
And I also brought you here because we didn't get lunch. These are the best ribs you're ever gonna eat in your entire life.
I'll see about that.
There's no way around it. You just gotta dive in and get messy.
I'm not afraid.
She picks up a rib and bites off a chunk of meat. Henry chews and smiles.
Oh.
Henry gets out of his car outside of his apartment.
Hey, Lucy.
Hi. Okay, there are three Todd Armand living in San Francisco,
but I can't find a connection between them and Ian Jenkins. I did have an idea for this week's blog, though. What about food poisoning?
48 million people get food poisoning each year in this country. 3,000 of them actually die.
We could call it the secret killer lurking in your fridge.
He walks in.
I like it.
A knife sticks out from a block.
So how's the case going?
He approaches the cutting board with a frown. He turns it so he can read a message. Drop the case or you're next. Henry looks up.
Deadlier by the minute.
Henry hunches over the kitchen island with a frown. Shrimp sizzle in a pan. Henry drops noodles into it.
Drop the case or you're next? You have to tell Maggie.
No way. If the police think I'm in danger, they're going to take me off the case, and I'm not going to let that happen. I promised Peter that I would get to the bottom of this, and that's what I'm going to do.
How can you eat at a time like this?
It's not for me, it's for you. You know I think better when I'm cooking.
He serves dish.
Voila.
Gives her plate.
Best perk of my job.
She eats.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
She shakes her head.
Henry, this case is getting serious. I don't want anything to happen to you. How am I supposed to find another job where I get to eat this well?
He looks down and smiles. Henry stands up and pulls out his cell phone.
Hello?
Hey, it's Maggie. I found something.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I was combing the web for images of Ian Jenkins. Remember how Sally Aldrin said that she'd just met him?
Yeah.
Website.
I found a photo of Sally and Ian looking pretty cozy at a fundraiser. The photo was taken 1 week ago.
Why would she lie to you about them being an item?
Because that would make her a top suspect. We have to talk to Sally right away.
Right. Look, today is Saturday. Sally's book launch is tonight.
Perfect. We'll confront her there and catch her off guard.
Good idea.
See ya.
Maggie hangs up the phone and stands up. A mantle with a chess trophy. Henry looks at them. Maggie's mom brings him a glass of water.
It's funny, Maggie didn't mention she had a new partner.
Oh, no, no. No, we're not partners. I'm just a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
She sits down. Henry does too. Abby is on the couch.
You know, my mom never takes us long to get ready. You sure this isn't a date?
Oh, no. Definitely not a date.
Wait here. I'll go check on her.
He smiles and looks down. He looks up. Abby looks off and smiles. Henry points up at trophies.
You win those?
We all got one just for showing up.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, no offense.
No, it is ridiculous. I mean, if I get a trophy, I want it to mean something.
He looks down and smiles.
So how good are you?
I'm rated at 1650.
Wow. Really?
You play?
State champ, 2 years running.
Really?
When I was your age, I used to skip school and play with the old guys in the park for money. I mean, not that you should do that. Don't do that.
She shrugs.
Maybe you could teach me something. Or whatever. I mean, I'm sure you're probably really busy.
No, I'll definitely show you some tricks. I'd love to.
They look up.
Here she is.
Maggie in short white dress.
High heels and all.
Her mother smiles broadly.
Well, pigs do fly. Enjoy yourselves, you two.
Mom, for the last time, we are going out for work.
Then how come you kept changing your outfit?
Henry raises his eyebrows.
Don't you have homework?
I already did it.
Of course you did. I love you.
Love you too.
Sorry, I have to work late again.
It's okay.
I'll be back as soon as I can, okay?
Oh, take your time.
She waves her hand as she leads Abby off. Maggie turns back to Henry. He looks at her and sighs. She cocks her head and looks at him.
So, let's go crash a party.
An entrance with red carpet. Sally holds a book, The Gourmet Conspiracy by Sally Aldrin.
Thank you so much for coming. And I've got the...
Henry takes a glass of wine.
Just trying to blend.
Of course you are.
It's nice to see you not wearing gray. You look beautiful.
Right.
What?
She turns to Henry.
What's the punchline?
There's no punchline. I mean it. You look beautiful. Although I am wondering where you're hiding your gun.
Sally!
Sally turns around.
Henry! Hi. And it's Detective Price.
That's right.
You guys here on official business? Or are you here to enjoy the party?
Official business.
I'm enjoying the party. She's driving.
Miss Aldrin, this photo suggests that you and Ian were on much friendlier terms than what you led us to believe. Why would you lie to us?
Sally looks up at them. She raises her eyebrows.
Because I was scared. I watch TV, okay? The murderer always turns out to be the angry girlfriend. Look, I had nothing to do with Ian's murder, all right? Ian had enough enemies on his own. He didn't need my help to kill him.
There was tension between the two of you at Shader Cat.
Well, you should know about catchy titles, Sally.
Jenkin raises glass at Sally.
What were you fighting about? Our different definitions of the word exclusive, but that doesn't make me a killer. Look, I really can't handle a scandal right now. I don't want to make my publishers nervous, so just wrap this up.
She widens eyes.
Come here.
Henry gestures with his head. They walk to table. Sally arranges her hair.
Yeah.
Sally, word on the street is that you're being wooed by another publisher.
Maggie gives him a look.
What? I know things.
What other publisher? You mean my talks with Leighton?
Leighton Leopold? The chef at Fillmore Bistro?
Yeah. Leighton came to me a while ago. He said he was starting his own line of cookbooks, mainly featuring his own recipes from Fillmore Bistro. He said that he was coming into a lot of money and that he was getting ready to buy the restaurant from Raymond.
Wait, Leighton said this?
Yeah, he said Raymond was ready to retire and that he was tired of running the business and all the hassles that came with it. Thought he was going to get a pretty good price on it, too.
I think they were having problems.
Did Leighton say where this money was coming from?
I didn't ask. I'm not looking to expand. As you can see, my publishers treat me pretty well.
Holds up hands.
I really should get back to mingling.
Sure.
Maggie nods.
Just,
Yeah. Don't leave that.
She walks off. Henry turns to Maggie.
Okay, look, if we hurry, we can probably still catch Leighton at the Fillmore Bistro. The kitchen's open till 11.
Okay, Henry, it's late. It's been a long week, and I'm going to go home and spend some time with my daughter. We're going to start again on Monday, okay?
What are you talking about? We've got a major lead to follow up on. I mean, Leighton is clearly up to something.
Henry?
Okay, look, this is what I propose. We go talk to Leighton, then after, we go for Mushu Pork and talk about the case. Lucy, my assistant, her parents own the best restaurant in all of Chinatown.
I have a life outside of the police force. Abby already doesn't see enough of me as it is. Now, this may be hard for you to understand because you are not responsible for anyone else, but we have a family rule.
I am home for dinner four nights a week, and I already missed that dinner. This is my job, and I care deeply about what I do. But my family comes first, and nobody is going to change that.
She walks past Henry. He stares off stoically. He turns around slowly and looks at her as she walks off. The City Far Below Us by Day. Maggie jogs down the street with her hair tied back. She pauses before a car in her driveway and takes out her earbuds. She runs up to the door and goes inside. Henry stands at the counter.
Seriously, I'm right there in the middle of the palace with soaking wet shoes. It was ridiculous. I thought they were going to throw me out of the country right there. Thankfully, they didn't. I mean, I was invited back, but... Hey. Oh.
What are you doing?
How was your run?
What are you doing here?
Just making breakfast.
You have got to try these omelets. They're insane. Do you know Henry has traveled all over the world? Tell my mom's story about the bull in Spain.
Yeah, now may not be the best.
He was gored by a bull.
Minor goring.
Show her the scar.
It's fine. I don't need to see the scar. I'm just trying to understand why you're here when I told you that we could reconvene on Monday.
Maggie.
Mom?
Carrie's plate.
Look, I'm sorry. I wanted you to know that I heard you loud and clear last night, all right? You need to be with your family, who are adorable, by the way. Bon appetit. So I was thinking... You know, why not do both, right?
He leans up against the counter and looks at her.
Okay.
He turns down.
But before you throw me out, why don't I at least make you breakfast? I've got everything out. It's ready to go.
She looks up at him and holds his gaze. She drops her head forward and looks down. She shrugs.
Fine.
Yeah? What do you like in your omelet?
Everything. With Tabasco.
My kind of woman.
He walks past her. She stands there and looks to the side. He whisks eggs and drops them into the pan. He adds perfectly cut bell pepper, cucumbers, and grated cheese. He lays the finished omelet on a plate with two crostini.
There you are.
He walks over and sets the plate in front of her.
Pretty.
She takes the silverware and cuts off a bite.
How is it?
She chews.
It's great. Really?
Leans in.
Wow, you are so needy. You know that?
He sits up and laughs.
All chefs are. What can I say?
He turns and looks at her.
By the way, you were right last night.
He shakes his head.
I don't have anything outside of work. This is all I have.
He leans forward and nods.
Your family is great. You're a lucky woman.
She looks up at him and nods.
I know.
She raises her eyebrows.
I'm sorry if I overreacted.
No, you got nothing to apologize for. This was a dumb idea. Look, I'm just going to clean up and I will get out of your hair.
She looks down at her plate. He stands up and goes into the kitchen. She turns to him.
Hey, my mom was going to take Abby out for a few hours anyway. If you want, we could go over stuff.
He sighs over the counter.
I thought you'd never ask.
He comes in with a bulletin board of suspects and sets it in front of her.
Excited. Bam.
Wow, you recreated the murder board in my living room.
In case you're wondering, I used the photos from my cell phone. Trust me, it is exactly the same.
I can see that. Okay.
She stands up.
You think that Leighton was sabotaging his own restaurant so that he could destroy the business enough to be able to buy the restaurant from Raymond?
Everybody in town knows that Leighton has a big ego and believes that Raymond doesn't give him the exposure he feels he deserves.
If you would just listen to me, we can make bold choices like this without alienating our customers.
Or you could go buy your own restaurant and cook whatever you like.
And Leighton was clearly frustrated that Raymond refused to take any risks.
If Leighton owned Fillmore Bistro, he would turn it into a shrine to showcase his cooking, something Raymond would never let happen.
So what is Leighton's motive for killing Jenkin?
Jenkin discovered what Leighton was doing to Raymond and his restaurant.
So Leighton also started sabotaging Chez Duquette as the perfect decoy.
Exactly.
Henry points at her.
Okay, so from the beginning, Leighton causes problems at Fillmore Bistro, but knows that he's going to be a prime suspect. So to throw off any investigation, he also sabotages Chez Duquette with the added benefit of harming his main competitor. We need to find out where Leighton is right now and bring him in for questioning.
Exactly.
He smiles as Maggie walks past him. A phone by a chessboard. Henry looks over his shoulder at it. He picks it up and frowns.
Maggie, take a look at this. I've got a message from Leighton Leopold.
What?
Henry, I need you to tell everyone that I never meant for this to go so far. I didn't mean for Mr. Jenkins to die, but he... Anyway, I've ended it all now.
Voicemail, Leighton Leopold. She turns and looks at Maggie.
If Raymond had just listened to me, none of this would have happened. I was the reason Fillmore Bistro was such a success. But Raymond has no ambition. When he refused to sell me the business, he left me no choice.
Flashback.
I began tampering with ingredients, disrupting the business, pushing Raymond to the point where he was ready to retire. I started sabotaging Chez Duquette as well.
I did not order this. I got the order right here.
To make it look like all of the chaos linked back to the feud between Raymond and Peter. When Jenkins began investigating what was going on, he was going to blow the lid off everything. I panicked. I knew Klaus was serving lamprey at the gala and cultivated my own toxin.
Excuse me. Can you take this drink over to that gentleman, please? Thank you.
A waitress takes the drink and gives Jenkins the glass. Jenkins takes it.
I poisoned his drink before the dinner, hoping everyone would think Jenkins' death was an accident.
Jenkins drinks and raises his eyebrows.
But I didn't have a choice. He cornered me. I was afraid.
Picture of Doc.
I didn't know what to do.
Henry leans in.
I can't live with what I've done, so I've used the poison on myself.
We just swept this garage for the second time. No trace of TTB. Wherever we cultivated the poison, it wasn't here.
You should check the harbor.
Gestures to yacht.
Guess what we just found tucked away in a drawer. This look familiar?
Holds up the hard drive.
That's the one.
We tried it at one of our laptops. It's encrypted.
I'm sure one of the IT guys can unlock that. Shouldn't take them too long.
Bag it up with everything else.
Bailey takes the hard drive. Leighton sits pale-faced and dead in an armchair.
You know what I take from all this?
Henry looks at Monroe.
No more seafood, man. I'm done.
Henry pauses before the mantel and looks up.
So that's it then? Case closed. Is it always like this?
Maggie pauses with plastic gloves on.
No. It's never this clean.
Henry squints slightly and looks over at Leighton. The city lights at night.
Henry, I need you to tell everyone that I never meant for this to go so far. I didn't mean for Mr. Jenkins to die, but he... Anyway, I've ended it all now.
Henry sets phone on his counter.
What are you doing?
There's something bothering me about this message. I can't put my finger on it.
He replays the message.
Henry, I need you to tell everyone that I never meant for this to go so far. I didn't mean for Mr. Jenkins to die.
Maggie cuts bell peppers in her kitchen.
It's too clean. It's just too clean.
What's too clean?
Oh, nothing. Sorry, I was just thinking about work.
This looks like a lot of effort, Mom. We could just order something.
No, I want to do this. You know, food is not just supposed to be about sustenance. It's about the experience.
Do you know how long this experience is going to take?
Abby smiles.
I'm starving.
Okay, well, why don't you grab an apron and then you can help speed this along.
Okay.
Okay.
Abby returns and puts on an apron.
You want help?
Yeah.
Maggie ties the back of it.
So, what are we making?
I was thinking about doing Thai stir fry. What do you think?
Sounds yummy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Want to jump on the carrots there?
Sure.
Good job.
Maggie goes over to her cell phone and picks it up.
Bailey.
Detective.
I've got something you really need to see. The guys in IT, they unlocked the flash drive.
And?
It was filled with photos of people working at Shady Cat and Fillmore Bistro.
But there's this one photo in particular I think you're really going to be interested in. I'm emailing it over to you right now.
She looks to the side.
I can't get over these food poisoning stats. 128,000 people are hospitalized each year.
Well, like you said, it's the killer lurking in your fridge.
Lucy shakes her head. Henry stands in the living room with his hands on his hips. Flashback. Henry looks at yacht picture.
Or fridge magnet. That magnet on the board. Lucy, it was never Todd. T-O-D-D. It was T-C. D-D. The O was a C. Look up a business called Thompson, Christie, Davies, and Devine.
Website. She turns laptop.
Got it. Look at this. This is a merchant bank right here in San Francisco. Check out the address.
1274 Armada Street.
He drops his head.
It was never a person. It's a street.
Says here they specialize in the food industry. We know the 12th was the same day Jenkins was murdered.
And Sally said that Layton was coming into some money.
Maybe Jenkins discovered a connection between Layton and this bank and went on the 12th at 9:30 to investigate. Whatever he found out led to his conclusion, which he was about to announce before his death.
Wait a minute. Armand Street is in the financial district, right? The financial district has that clock that chimes, right?
Yeah, it's right by the park.
Presses play.
Henry, I need you to tell him that I never meant for this to go so far. I didn't mean for Mr. Jenkins to die, but he...
And again.
Wait, I've ended it all now.
That was a 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock chime in one recording. How did two chimes, separated by an hour, end up in a message that only lasted 15 seconds?
Lucy looks up at him.
What?
I have to call Maggie.
He holds the phone up to his ear. Maggie at her computer.
Henry, I was just about to call you.
I have something to show you.
I have something to show you, too. It's not over.
Audio reproduction.
I didn't mean for Mr. Jenkins to die, but he... Anyway, I've ended it all now.
So the lab guys have confirmed that the message was spliced together from a number of different recordings. Layton wasn't working alone.
So Layton was murdered.
Yes.
Maggie nods.
They had an argument, or Layton wanted to come clean, whatever it was. His accomplice recorded a series of conversations, spliced them together, poisoned him with the toxin, and problem solved.
I just got off the phone with the merchant bank where Jenkins had a meeting the morning of his murder, and his investigation was spot on. Layton and his partner did have a meeting at the bank several weeks earlier about raising funds for a food conglomerate that involved a frozen food line, cooking schools, a line of books, the works.
That's right. That's why Jenkins had photos of Sally Aldrin and Oliver Page. They were going to be part of this new food empire. Layton and his partner were planning all of this without Raymond or Peter knowing anything about it.
Why did nobody mention any of this during interrogation?
As far as they were concerned, these were just individual conversations. They had no idea that they were part of some grand conspiracy or even the fact that they were connected to Ian Jenkins' murder.
And do you want to know the best part?
What's the best part?
Our IT guys were able to unlock that flash drive Ian Jenkins so desperately wanted.
Goes to computer.
Layton's partner at the meeting was Pauline Duquette.
Pauline and Layton kiss behind a light post. Maggie smiles and looks at Henry. Car drives down street at night.
Okay, thanks. Scarponi just confirmed taking photos of Pauline and Layton kissing.
Why didn't he mention that earlier?
He said he didn't bring it up because it didn't look unusual. Just two people outside of a bank like any other couple.
Jenkins knew what it meant.
That's why Layton stole the flash drive. He was worried about incriminating photos.
You were behind it from the beginning. Layton's been sabotaging Fillmore Bistro, and Pauline was doing the same thing to Chez Duquette.
Sign, Chez Duquette. They pull up to the restaurant at night with the emergency lights on.
Bailey, Monroe, cover the back.
Waves at Henry.
Hey! You, stay here.
What, are you kidding me? We're not dealing with a Russian mob here. What's she gonna do, throw poisoned fish at us?
Go. Henry, stay behind me.
Henry goes in after her. Pauline at her desk.
Pauline Duquette, you're under arrest for the murders of Ian Jenkins and Layton Leopold.
Excuse me?
The spliced recordings and suicide note were a nice touch, although frankly, I could have done without the knife in my kitchen.
Maggie gives a look. He waves his hand.
At what point did you realize you needed to get rid of Leighton?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I imagine he was feeling very guilty about the death of Ian Jenkins, because that was never part of the plan, was it?
Ian forced your hand when he confronted you.
Adds liquid in glass.
You're the one who poisoned him at the dinner.
Waitress gives Ian the poisoned glass.
This is ridiculous. What proof do you have?
Aside from the fact that we know that you and Leighton were a couple and have photos to prove it, and that you were taking meetings at the Merchant Bank about merging your two restaurants, what I think will really please the judge is that TTB is such a virulent toxin that even if you wear gloves and scour your hands after, traces of the airborne molecules remain on your skin for days.
She looks to the side.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you.
Whoa, 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 Pauline.
Pulls out gun and points it at Maggie.
Pauline, put the gun down.
Henry holds up his hands.
Give me your gun.
Maggie holds up her hands. Handcuffs hang from one. Pauline looks over at Henry.
Okay.
Maggie takes out her gun and hands it over to Pauline. Pauline sets the other gun down on the desk and points Maggie's gun at her.
It was unloaded. My uncle keeps it for when he's working late. It makes me feel safer. Cuff yourself to the radiator.
She points at the radiator with Maggie's gun. Maggie licks her lips and goes over to the radiator.
And give me the keys.
She throws the keys over to Pauline. They land on the floor. Pauline points the gun at Henry.
You coming with me?
Henry looks down.
Let's go.
Maggie gestures.
Let's go.
Henry walks in front of her at gunpoint. As soon as they leave, Maggie pulls out a second gun from her boot and fires at the cuffs to break it loose. Steam sprays from the radiator. Monroe and Bailey turn to the restaurant with eyes wide. They run up to the restaurant.
Through the kitchen. Go!
Henry goes down a set of stairs in front of Pauline. Maggie runs down the stairs with her gun.
Pauline, drop the gun.
Pauline hugs Henry and points gun at him.
Stay back!
Okay, everybody just calm down. Everything is under control, all right?
Maggie cocks her head.
You and Leighton were going to run down both restaurants to the point where you could buy them off of Peter and Raymond at a great price. Right? It was actually a brilliant plan. You and Leighton, your lover, leveraging both restaurants to woo investors into a whole new food empire that put the two of you at the center of it all.
Pauline looks to the sides.
I have to admire your ambition. Except that after you killed Jenkin, Leighton got cold feet. And he started to panic, didn't he? Because Leighton never planned on this turning into murder.
I'm warning you!
Hey, Maggie, could you just...
Henry holds out a hand to Maggie.
Listen, Pauline. I have known you your entire life. Think of what you're doing to Peter. He loves you so much. You're the daughter that he never had.
Pauline frowns.
This restaurant has been part of your family's history for the past 80 years. Don't let it end like this. It doesn't have to. It's not too late. Look.
Henry turns around.
You owe it to your family.
She lowers gun.
You owe it to Peter.
Maggie gestures to the police.
Two people have died.
They approach.
It's over.
Monroe snatches the gun.
I'm so sorry, Henry.
They cuff her.
I didn't mean for it to be this way. It just... it got out of hand.
And say will be used against you in a court of law.
Henry gives her a look. They walk her off. Henry looks over at Maggie. She blinks and breaks eye contact. Monroe puts Pauline into a cop car.
No, just keep him on the back.
Henry watches with his hands in his pockets. Maggie stands beside him and swings her arms.
Well, I, hate to say it, but nicely done.
Well, something had to be done. If I left it up to you, clearly I was going to get shot.
Excuse me? If it weren't for me and two other armed detectives, you would never be seen again. So I think the words that they're looking for are, thank you.
Thank you? Really?
Yeah.
Because at the rate you were going, she was going to shoot me first, then take aim at you. I mean, you should be thanking me for saving both our lives.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, do you always antagonize an armed criminal like that? Because if we're ever going to partner up again...
Trust me, you and I will never work together again.
I'm just saying...
Stop talking, Henry.
I'm just saying if we did.
Oh my God, you cannot stop, can you? Is it impossible for you to just keep your mouth closed for 2 minutes?
Make a left.
Don't tell me how to drive.
The city by day far below us. The mother takes a picture of Maggie in a large auditorium.
Big cheese.
Parents, please be seated so we can start.
Go get him, girl, okay?
Once the buzzer goes and our kids start playing, there will be no talking.
You'll do great.
Abby hugs her grandmother.
Hey,
takes Abby's hands.
I know your dad would be here if he could be.
Sure, Mom.
Henry comes in through the back door. Abby turns around and waves at him.
Henry!
Sorry I'm late. I couldn't find parking.
What?
He runs down.
I invited him.
You did?
Watch your corridors. Don't bring your queen out too soon, okay?
Got it.
He squats down and smiles at her. Abby and her grandmother leave. Henry and Maggie stand in front of each other.
Should we, grab a seat?
She pauses and points to the side.
Sure. Yeah, I have a few reserved right here.
Perfect.
All right, players. Have fun.
Abby sits in front of a chess table with a boy. Maggie gives him a thumbs up. Henry smiles.
Thank you for coming. That was very kind of you.
I'm glad to be here.
He leans over to Maggie. He smiles. She smiles too. Banner, Regional Chess Tournament. They beam as they sit side by side.